Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources. We have a very exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But first, I want to take a half a minute to introduce somebody that's become a great friend of mine over the last 3 or 4 months, Mr. Kevin Finn. Kevin is a master at the control board and makes everything go much better than it normally would, certainly if I was in charge. And he's also an accomplished host and hosts a number of shows here on Business Radio X. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Ricky. How was your Memorial Day?
It was pretty good. I was in Athens, GA with my bride
for 34 years. You cannot beat that at all. Probably some beverages.
Well, we had a lot of yogurt.
Some brats.
A lot of yogurt.
All right.
Benchies. It's the greatest yogurt in the world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've heard.
No question about it. Well, I'm very honored today to have in the studio someone that's become a new, not a friend of mine as early as Kevin, but somebody from maybe 2003 or 4. As people know that follow Booth 61, this show is about building community, and we believe that a rising tide lifts all boats. And I don't think there's any organization or person who more exemplifies that motto than Tino Mantella. As I mentioned, I first met Tino probably 2004 when he first joined TAG. And as one who's been involved with TAG for a long time, you know, I wonder what kind of leader Tino would be. You know, I've seen been involved in a lot of associations over my career. But Tino has moved TAG from a good technology association to a national powerhouse, increasing the membership at unprecedented levels, raising sponsorship like none of us would have believed in a million years. And now TAG is truly the premier technology association in the Southeast, if not the entire country. Welcome to Booth 61, Tino.
Thanks, Ricky. Great to be here.
Well, it's a great honor to have you here.
Well, I'm honored to be here working with you. We go back a long way, and you certainly were a legendary before I took this job. It's good to gotten to know you over the years.
Well, it was fun to watch the progression of the Paparellis and Ken Antley and Steve Bachmans and others who got involved behind, they were all involved in Beta and Southeastern Software and Women in Technology, and watched them creatively come up with some ideas, and one thing led to another, and before you knew it, the Technology Association of Georgia was born, so quite exciting. I do believe that it's the premier organization of its type in Georgia, and certainly perhaps the United States, and I think the growth and success of TAG has a great deal to do with fact that I think Forbes just released this week that Atlanta is now the number six state in the nation in IT growth. So we're continuing.
That's exciting.
We're continuing to climb. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, TAG has a goal, and we can't take certainly all of the credit, maybe not much of the credit for this, but it's good to be part of a community that's growing. So TAG has a goal by 2015 to be in the top five. So it was great to see that we've inched up maybe two or three notches. And you know, you've got the big boys like the Silicon Valley. I think they were number one, and San Francisco, and then you had Boston, and at Austin in terms of percentage growth, but we're much larger than they are. In fact, I'm doing some work in Alpharetta on the Alpharetta Technology Commission. I don't have favorites. I live around there, but it is one of the good technology communities. In fact, there's as many technology companies in Alpharetta as there is in Austin, Texas. So.
Wow.
And the mayor heard me say that, and I've heard him speak a few times, and he's been using that, but it's true when you think about just one community, and then you have what's happening in Midtown and Sandy Spring and Marietta and a number of other areas. We really have a great technology community, so it's been good to be part of all that and make a contribution, but we're growing and going, so it's been terrific.
Well, slightly disagree with you. I think that you and TAG had a great deal to do with that.
Oh, thank you.
And before TAG, there was no cohesive place in our industry where people met. There was a Beta, there was Southeastern Software, Women in Technology, there were a few other organizations, but no place that captured the heart and soul of our community. You came on board in 2004, I believe.
Right.
And TAG at that point was having a few hiccups. The first couple of years were dramatic and dynamic and, you know, a new organization. But then we kind of hit a lull for a period and won't go into, you know, great detail because I wasn't intimately involved. But but it seemed like we kind of plateaued, if not stepped back a notch or two. And they knew they needed outside leadership rather than somebody here, perhaps locally, that had been through the TAG or through the other associations. And they came out and they got a real, true association professional executive. And you came in 2004, and why did you choose TAG? You were with the Arthritis Foundation and doing quite well.
Yeah, the Arthritis Foundation was, I guess in hindsight, I'm glad I went through it because it helped me to become a better leader at TAG. But it was a very different organization. We had, I was the national CEO, and we had 55 chapter presidents all over the country. And they didn't report to the national CEO. So anybody that's been in that situation, it looks better than it is in terms of being able to actually move the boats in the same direction. So when the TAG opportunity became open, and we talked to a mutual friend, Emma Morris, I was mm-hmm. actually had started a couple little businesses, and Emma said, "That sounds great, Tino, but what you need to do is go interview for the TAG job." And I'm like, "Well, I'm just getting these things started," but she convinced me it'd be a good thing, and I felt like I didn't know as much about the technology community, but what we were able to contribute, what I was able to contribute was some of the skill sets I had learned in the past, whether it was with the YMCAs or with the Arthritis Foundation, in terms of developing a strategic plan, building your board, creating some energy around buzz, around the mission of the organization, getting everybody on the same page, raising money, all those things that really at the time TAG needed. And, you know, in fairness, I think in 2000, as you remember, Ricky, to 2004, that was when the bubble burst. So it was after the time, some of us say, vaporware, people were investing. I was on a board, actually, where never actually made it to first base. They were selling something they didn't really have, and people were investing in something they didn't really have. And then all of a sudden, when the bubble burst, well, they never could get the product to market. It was a good idea, but they never could take it to market before they ran out of money. And that happened, as you know, over and over again. So Atlanta went through all that. I think the 2001, 2002 was a more difficult time for Georgia and Atlanta in the technology space than even 2007, 2008, because a lot of these guys had already been through that. So to some degree, you know, certainly using the skills that I had, but being in the right place at the right time. And the biggest thing was trying to get everybody together in a small board that I had and said, what is the vision? Because some people were saying at the time, and you heard this as well, that TAG wants to be the voice of technology for the state. And I said, well, that's really a good goal, an ambitious goal for down the road, but we have to just be able to crawl, walk, run, and that's basically where we were. So I think I could see the direction that we needed to go, and fortunately got a lot of people on board, good board members. We had SSA, WIT, and BETA behind us, and then a number of other special interest groups and societies. So that's sort of the short story in terms of how we started.
Associations over the years that I've been involved in are either staff-driven or member-driven. And it seems to me whenever one really controls the situation, it's not as healthy a situation. I think the staff-driven model is stronger because someone's got to be in charge. And volunteers are great and wonderful people, but they all have real day jobs. And I think you came in as a strong leader, but yet you've opened it up and made it very commingling of the power. You haven't become a czar. Right. But you're a good leader, and I think you've done a great job of making it a combination of staff-driven along with the community or the organization-driven.
Yeah, I that's exactly right, and I have the chance now and again to make presentations on board development and building nonprofit organizations. And I will say that there's not a wrong way. I think you've said that as well. There could be a board-heavy organization where the staff are more subservient, and you and I know some models probably we could think of, some pretty close to us, that it's a little more in that way. Not a bad thing. It's just a different model. Then there's some that are really equal, staff, board, And then there's some that are more staff-driven. I like to be in an organization where they say, okay, you're the leader. We're hiring you for this. Set the direction, set the tone, set the course. Tell us when you need us. We want to be involved and engaged. And I've been fortunate to have, in 8 years, eight great board chairmen, many of them who you know, who have said, we have a lot of confidence in you. Make things happen. Tell us how we can help. It wasn't like they were just giving me the keys and running with it. We always engaged them. But it was more of a staff-driven model. I think you're right. Usually the staff-driven model worked, but I've seen situations where strong boards, even boards without any staff, do a terrific job in terms of moving their vision and their mission forward.
Well, having seen it both ways in TAG, I think we've gone the right direction, and I think the proof is in the pudding, no question about it. You talked a little earlier about the, at one point I can recall those conversations, we want to be the voice, the central, the catalyst. We want to be this, we want to be the Taj Mahal, and we didn't have enough money to go to the right. Greyhound bus station. And all that has changed. So today, what is the mission of TAG today, and how has that evolved from your leadership perspective?
Well, the soundbite is that we educate, influence, promote, and unite the technology industry in Georgia with a goal of being a top five state in the nation by 2015. And when I first took the job, I was fortunate. I give Martin Tilson, who we both know, some credit for this. But Martin had a connection with Boston Consulting Group, and he came to me, and he was one of the five people on my board. Now we have 65 on our board. But he said, Tino, how would you like to get some support in terms of thinking through your plan with this professional group, BCG? And I said, yeah, of course, I'd love that. So that was really helpful, and we ended up developing these two logic circles, which I'm proud to say are still intact today. And the logic circles, for those you know listening in, are basically the first circle was that we were going to build the board, build the database, build the membership, and that in turn was going to drive partnerships, which were going to drive strategic alliances, which that circle will continue. And it really worked. We continued to grow the membership, grow the board, grow the database from, I think there was about 3,000 at the time. Now there's 25,000 as an example. And now, as you know, there's lots of organizations that are happy to partner with us. And when we go to the Lieutenant Governor or we go to the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce or the Georgia Chamber of Commerce or any of those groups, they see that we're a player. They want to participate with us. And that wouldn't have happened before. As you said, it was like, okay, you want to be this voice for technology, but you really haven't earned that right. But that first circle was just the beginning. There was this crossing the chasm piece where the other circle was about building economic development in Georgia. So it was things like influencing through legislation, promoting the technology industry, driving the workforce. And that's where we are today. So we have one foot in both camps. We're still our foundational opportunities in, you know, what our members are looking for a lot of times are in connecting and celebrating the 32 different special interest groups that we have. That's always going to be at the core. But we're able to take some of those resources and opportunities of having all those people and actually influencing policy. So this year, and we'll probably get into it, we helped to pass this Invest Georgia bill, $100 million investment fund. We would have never even got a seat at the table 6 years ago. So, and we're driving PR. Over 400 million media impressions since January, just in respect to promoting the industry. So Pete Siniscalli, who I think you know, who was head of Manhattan Associates, was head of my strategic planning committee. He goes, it's not often where you see these two circles and organizations can actually jump over one into the other. And I think at the time back in 2004, I didn't really even see necessarily that we were going to be able to do that. But just over time, as we kept focusing on it, it actually happened, which has been great.
It has been great, and I do agree with you 100%. The early days of TAG, we didn't have a seat at the table, and lot of good, well-meaning, hardworking people, but volunteers who were trying to do the best that they could. And yet with the Chamber or Georgia Research Alliance or what equal players, but you're on equal footing with all of those organizations today. You know, membership's the lifeblood of an organization, and it takes a lot of money to run TAG, and part of it's got to be sponsorship, and part of it's got to be dues structure and what have you. I think you've got a model of trying to keep it as close to 50-50 so the tail doesn't wag the dog from either direction.
Yeah, we're about now we're about $3.5 million operation. We have 27 staff. Some of those staff are in the TAG Education Collaborative side, focused on getting kids excited about math, science, technology, and engineering, which is part of our workforce goal. But with these activities, it's almost a 50-50 balance. So the membership has been growing each year, and we came up with this premier membership idea, which Hunter Technologies is a proud premier member. We have about 250 of those companies, and that produces over $1 million a year. And then we have a number of individual members, corporate members, and that'll produce about $1.5 million in total. And then on the sponsorship side, we've been able to generate that much. And some years sponsorship's a little higher, some years membership's a little higher. We don't totally rest in those two camps or solely in those two camps. There's some leveraging of the website. A couple years ago, we did this campaign where we put billboards at the airport and we had company sponsors. So it said, logistics, where Georgia leads, and they had a stat about logistics, and then we had a company, and they happened to be Manhattan Associates that sponsored that one, or Turner Broadcasting, each of the sponsors. And so that was a revenue generator for us, a lot of it that we gave back to the community through promotion of the industry. So I like the balance. I think that as we continue to grow, we'll look at other opportunities for financial resources. And that's allowed us, for example, to – I talked about TAG Ed. So we take $100,000 of that a year, and we give it to TAG Ed to support their work. You're familiar with the business launch competition. Some of your listeners may not be, where we give away $50,000 in cash to the best new business launch. We take $25,000 out of our own budget to put into that program. So as we've been able to grow, we can do more things. We like to keep about 50% of what an annual budget would be in reserve, just, you know, for rainy day and opportunities that might emerge. But if we get over that mark, then we say, okay, what else can we do? What's our next thing to do? So it's a good financial model for us. We stick to our knitting for the most part, membership and sponsorship, and then we look at some other opportunities to generate revenue.
With the premier membership, it's based upon the company size, so there might be 6 or 12 people that attend or have the ability to attend. Round figures, what do you estimate is the total membership of TAG right now as far as individuals, even though that fluctuates because of the premier membership?
Yeah, we're just about at 20,000, so in total, and that's about 2,500 companies, but like a McKesson or a UPS or Coca-Cola or Home Depot, they're all members of TAG. They may have 100 or 200 people opt into the system. We don't just take their list of people that are in the company.
10,000 people or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So we're at our high water mark at about 20,000 right now.
It's a very powerful number, you know. Every organization's power or every politician's power comes by a number of people who are willing to follow and contribute, and 20,000 is humongous, and congratulations.
Thank you.
A great deal of growth has come from, I think, the development of the special interest groups. You mentioned earlier we have 32 of them now. Kind of walk us through how we got to 32 and how many more do we have coming around the corner?
Well, that's an important question, and my board asks that every once in a while, and it's like, how many is too many? And there's theory, the long tail theory that I subscribe to. In fact, we had Chris Anderson from Fast Company that had talked about that, and Wired Magazine, and he had talked about that program and from a standpoint of his distribution. But for us, we were looking at what's really needed out there, and is there enough critical mass to support the societies, as we call them. So they break down into people, function, or industry. So a people. Ones, our examples are entrepreneurs, women in technology, young professionals, diversity. In the functional areas, which is one that is typically fastest growing just because there's so many different functions and emerging functions, some of the Hunter's involved with, but we have business intelligence, data governance, a variety of other ones. We just started a mobility society, and of course mobility is functional because it applies to health IT or applies to fintech or any of our other areas. And then the final one is industries, and we have a number where Georgia leads industries, and we have societies in each of those like health IT, logistics, fintech, manufacturing. And the idea behind it was, I think we had about 12 when I came in, and they were all different levels. You remember some of them, Ricky. I mean, some of them were active, and some of them hadn't had a meeting in 2 years.
Long time.
But the secret was getting the right chairs, making sure that they did have a direction. We staff each one of them now, which is a good thing because we provide support. And then we look to see what's out there that's a hot topic. A lot of times people come to us. We probably get a call at least once a month now for a group that wants to start a new society. So the most recent one we started was retail technology, because when we looked around, we had a couple of companies that approached us, and then we did a study, not a sophisticated study, but we looked to see what the market was. And we found, as you know, there's a lot of retail technology here, from Popeyes to Racetrack to Haverty's to Macy's technology and so on. So we started one. We actually have somebody from Spanx that's chairing that. And it's had its first mixer meeting and had about 200 people there. So we think we hit on the right one. Time will tell. Mm-hmm. And now the next one we're going to do is for programmers and developers, because TAG has never really gone deep into the programmer side. And it'll be more generic, so anybody, whether they're Java or .NET or C++ or whatever they do, there should be some reason for them to come in and get involved with that. After that, in my mind, I'm thinking probably 2 or 3 a year is plenty. The thing we're probably not as good at is killing them off if they mm-hmm. if they've hit their top of their life cycle or on the downward trend. But we've merged a few, we've exited with a few, and then we've changed a number of them. A lot of them, we'll start with Smart Grid. And then people say, well, that's too narrow. So then we broaden it to Smart Energy, which got a whole new group of people in. And we explore things. We just did a big event for government officials and public safety. I'd like to do an event on automotive technology, because with GM moving here, you have Porsche and Maserati and Panasonic and Kia, a number of others. That we'll start with an event in that space, and then we'll see if it's going to merge into a special interest group.
Well, content's always the king.
Right.
And by having a staff person assigned, I think you're able to look over the shoulders of the volunteers and maybe help direct that to a greater degree than perhaps had been done in the past.
Yeah.
I attend a lot of TAG events over the years, speak to a few of them, but I was at the recruiting special interest group maybe a week or two ago, and they had a great panel, Paul Carmody from See Beyond, and a number of really bright folks were on the panel, and that room was absolutely slap full.
Yeah.
And a lot of great mixing, but good panel, good content, and that's the key, and that's the educational component that we, look to TAG to provide.
Yeah, I think you probably agree with this. Before, when we used to do surveys, we still do them, so when we did our first surveys in 2004 to 2006, if we asked people why they joined, 80% would say for networking. They just wanted to come out. Nothing wrong with that. We still do it, and have a mixer, pass the business cards, do some business, find a job, hire someone, whatever the case may be. But as we've evolved, we've tried to go deeper so that now there's more of a balance of people saying, I really want to go there to learn, to exchange knowledge. I want to be a thought leader. Or they're a member TAG because they want to influence policy, or they want to do some things in the area of workforce or STEM. So it's broader in terms of the reasons why, even though probably networking still comes up pretty high, but it's a different kind of networking, I think.
So, Sam, I'm fairly familiar with the term of networking.
Yes, you are.
I have done a little of that in my career.
And speaking to the expert.
yet I still believe that content has got to be the king.
Yeah.
Shaking hands and saying hello and kissing each other on the cheek is all felt fine and well and good and important in our relationship creation and building. But in the end, we all need more knowledge and we all need good content. And so I think that's what TAG has done a tremendous job of bringing to the forefront. We talked a little bit about premier membership. Is that an area of great growth where you see that you can, you know, there's a lot of companies that are still good candidates for you? And if so, urge a few of them to call you up this afternoon.
Yeah, tagonline.org, or just give me a call, 404-920-2027. You can call me directly. We'll get you lined up with a membership. But Premier was an idea that we had about 5 years ago. And I have this chart in the office that once every couple of years I share with the board, and we identify those little things sometimes. I think every company does that, that have made a big difference. You know, people do it in sports all the time, watching the Heat last night. You know, you're watching, you know, just little plays here and there that make a difference. So one example for us is we had a Tagit golf tournament, and it was generating quite a bit of money for us at Cherokee Country Club. And we sold it out with 35 foursomes. So we said, well, there's two courses there. Let's take the other one, take a risk. So end up generating another X amount of dollars, bringing in another 35 foursomes to participate. So it was interesting. I'm president of this group called Technology Councils in North America. There's 55 of us in U.S., Canada, and we actually have a couple now international. And we're the oddball in terms of having individual memberships. They all have, almost solely have corporate memberships. They cannot identify with individual members. I feel that I was lucky inheriting all individual members because there wasn't any corporate, there wasn't a premier membership at the time. So I think the people that were selling corporate memberships around North America were very nervous about changing the model where they said, well, now you can buy an individual membership. They're afraid people will go south and just do less. Maybe they say, oh, I'm only going to have five people participate. We didn't have anything to lose, and I pitched this idea, and coming out of the YMCA where we were a membership organization, it was all, you know, very real to me what we could do. And so we said, let's try this premier membership program where we'll sell the company. Everybody in the company can be a member. And when you go into a GE Energy and you pitch that story, it's like, well, this is great. It's a one-stop shop. So there's 32 societies, there's legislation, there's PR, there's recruiting. We can join this one group. So when John Doe comes in the door and says, I want to go to this group and pay, you know, $500, it's like, well, no, don't do that. Join TAG. We bought the membership for you, and now you have a choice of 32 different groups plus all the other things that we do. So we started a program from ground zero, and over the course of the last, I'd say, 4 years, each year we've grown. This year we started out with about 200 members, and now we're up to about 250 members, paying an average of about $5,000 each. The great thing for companies even under 10 employees is that, again, it's a place where everybody, it's a great benefit to the employees, where anybody can come out, get involved. If the guys from GE said, well, a lot of people think we're insular. We, you know, we've Six Sigma. We do everything. We can do everything without going outside our doors. They said, that's absolutely wrong. We want our people to be out, be in the community, mixing, learning, exchanging ideas, building the GE brand. So that's very popular. You know, market penetration-wise, there's 20,000 technology companies in the state of Georgia. And we have 250 in Premier, so we have a long way to go in terms of ability to gain more market penetration. So, and then we have three retention managers, which is also somewhat unusual. So their job, like a bank or like a company like yours does, is the account relationship. So the last couple of years, we've had over 92% retention once they join, which is the high number, as far as I know, anywhere in North America in terms of membership retention for a technology organization.
It's unprecedented, I would think. I know that the first meeting that I attended after Clint Bailey and the Hunter bigwigs decided to step up to the plate for the premier membership was the CIO Forum at the Waverly or the, well, it used to be the Waverly Hotel. It shows you my age. Now it's the Renaissance or whatever.
Renaissance Waverly. Yeah,
and anyway, it was a great experience. And, you know, the pre-reception and the chance to mingle with some of the heavyweights and still be involved in the overall event, to me, was money well spent. And I would urge any company, mid-size or greater, to take a good hard look at that. And larger companies, GE, Coca-Cola, IBM, many of them are all, you know, active sponsored and tag. Big companies that aren't involved should be involved because that's for the good of the community.
Yeah.
And you should be supporting the community where you do business and your folks work and get the educational benefits, in my opinion.
Sign up today.
Amen. Amen. You know, keeping members engaged is important, and I think the 32 societies and the events and the annual events are all well and good, but I know that you're doing a step further and that TAG does a day of service every year, and I believe that is this coming Friday, May 31st.
Yes.
From the last time I looked at the website. What happens on this day, and how many folks will be involved in Friday's activities?
Well, it's going to be at Chattahoochee at the park.
Okay.
And we're going to do some things in terms of working on the trails and putting up signage and cleaning up the area. So a real good community event. And what we found is there's a lot of companies that enjoy that opportunity to bring their people together to do work. A number of them have policies, like you can have so many hours a month of volunteering, and we think all that's great. What TAGS tries to do, and we do it with the Day of Service, we do it with our Techie 10K Road Race, we do it with bowling nights, we're doing a number of other things we're calling industry nights, is giving the companies a chance to come together as a team to have some fun, do some things for the community. And Ricky, I don't know if you see this, but one of the things that I'm seeing is, particularly with the younger population, they really want to do more in terms of giving back to service to the community, and they get excited about things like this. So we have a number of companies that they buy their T-shirts, and they come out in force with 20 or 30 people, and we provide all the tools, and we'll provide lunch. It's free to our member companies, and we'd love to have them out. It's not too late to sign up, and we'd like to get 150 people out there. And it's the bottom line also, it's really doing something great for the park. And as your listeners know, there's a lot of cutbacks going on with that thing called sequestration. So parks aren't able to do what they used to do, so they rely on groups like us to help out. Yeah. Last year we did historic Oakland Cemetery, which was kind of interesting. Didn't see any ghosts, though.
No, that's good. During the daytime. Good. During the daytime.
We got out of there at night, for sure.
We've mentioned a number of things, but is there anything else you'd like to add as far as membership on how can an ordinary member or just a normal Joe that maybe is not part of a huge corporation get involved with TAG?
Well, we have about 1,200 individual members, and they might be CEO of a company. The company might be just one person, or it could be two or three people. And so we're certainly welcoming individuals to come in and sign up. It's easier for them to do it. They can do it online at tagonline.org, or they can call us up and we'll sign them up over the phone. And one of the nice things is when people move into town, or it's just they're working at their home alone during the day, and they don't really have the ability to connect with other people, is we provide that opportunity. Once they sign up, we produce over 200 meetings a year. I think it's up about 250 meetings. So pretty much every day of the week, they can come out and get involved. And what a lot of people do is they'll look on the calendar. We call them our open field runners, and they'll just see, you know, two or three events during the week that they really think they'll like. Maybe they're going to learn something there, or they want to make a connection there. So it's real easy. They just go online and they sign up. Now, if they're not a member, they can still do that. There's always a higher fee for that, but they might want to come and try it that way as well.
But even if they join as an individual member, a number of the events are at no cost.
Right.
You provided great events. There's not a meal or something involved where there's going to be real outside expense for the organization.
Right. Under $300. Right now it's $265 for an individual membership, and then there's a better price for renewals. That they can come out and really participate in all 200 events, and more than half of them are free. And usually we have a continental breakfast, as you know, or something like that as well. But, yeah, it's great. People love it, and it's great for, again, people that are coming into town or just an individual that is interested in technology. I had a call a couple nights ago from a young man that just got out of college. His degree is in entrepreneurship, and he wants to work for a company related to entrepreneurship. And so I gave him a couple leads, as I try to do, but then I also said, you know, get involved with TAG because you're going to meet a lot of entrepreneurs there and you're going to be talking, and then it's going to click where somebody says, I need somebody like you. You've got some background, but you need that firsthand, you know, real work experience. So that happens all the time, and it's good for me because I like this giving back part of the job. I kind of miss the YMCA every once in a while in terms of what you're doing for youth and family and community. But in a lot of ways, when we're working with all these people in the technology industry, they're looking to connect, or maybe they're, you know, in transition, that we can be of some help, as Hunter certainly is as well. So
I think that's a good segue into kind of one of the next questions or thoughts I was going to kick around with you. Hunter Technical Resources, I guess we know the labor market as well as anyone, and it's actually our 15th anniversary this week.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So, yeah, we celebrated at the Digital Ball a couple of weeks ago, and we're still celebrating today.
Sorry, I missed that one.
But anyway, unemployment in Georgia, I think the latest statistics I read was something like 7.5% or thereabouts. Right. But in technology, if you talk to any CIO or any HR person, it's more like 2%.
Right.
And in some skill sets, be it Java, .NET, mobile, it's a negative unemployment. There's 3 jobs for every 2 people. You know, TAG is doing a lot in this area that was not being done 2-3 years ago. And for companies like ours, we need great candidates. And kind of give me a kind of an overview of what TAG is doing in this area. David Cummings was here a couple of weeks ago, and he has a goal of creating X number of jobs in the next few years. And I know TAG through STEM and other projects has that as a goal as well, because we can't bring any more companies here if we don't have folks to work there. So kind of give me that. That was a 17 questions within one.
Well, it's interesting, and we talked to the state and the chambers and some of the groups that are really, I think, more we're certainly marketing-driven. When people are listening outside the state, we want to make sure they know that there's people they can hire here. But at the same token, it's a battle, and we need to let them know that. So TAG always runs the balance of, well, we're a trade association for the technology industry, so we have to tell it like it is. And right now in Georgia, there's over 4,000 technology jobs open. Each year we do surveys for decision-maker surveys. So this last year we interviewed or this year we interviewed 150 CIOs, and they said what you're saying. It's like some say it takes them more than 25% said they've had a job open for more than 6 months, that they're having difficulty filling. I know Hunter Technology can help with that, and you guys do. So we have a multifaceted approach to this. One is that we've built this group called TAG Education Collaborative. It used to be the TAG Foundation, but my background was more in a 501c3. A lot of your listeners won't know what that is, but that's more of a charitable side organization like a YMCA or Boys and Girls Club or the Girl Scouts. And TAG is a C6, which is a trade association where we can lobby at the Capitol and so on and so forth. So I really wanted to get this C3 built up, but again, crawl, walk, run, we had to wait till we got a lot of other things in place. But finally, a few years ago, we hired our first executive director, and we made a real commitment. TAG Foundation before that was pretty much just a name, and we did a few things each year, but we just couldn't get the traction. So now we're on our second executive, Michael Robertson, and he's doing a great job. And they have 4 staff, so they're growing. They have a PR director. They have people working on internships. And the goal is, I like to say, it's not the pure mission statement, but getting kids excited about math, science, technology, and engineering, because that's where it starts. And we're having a major focus right now on middle schools, because if they get into high school and they haven't started, they hadn't prepared for the kinds of curriculum you need to take to go into engineering or even a 2-year technology college, you're behind the eight ball. So we're doing a number of exciting things there. The one I'd like to share with your audience is we had something called STEM Day, which you and I talked a little bit about. So STEM Day, we got the governor to sign a proclamation, and we said we would like as many schools as possible around the state to have their classes do something in science, technology, engineering, and math on May 3rd. And usually I'm a big goal setter, so I listened to the staff, and they said, well, we're shooting for 10,000 people. I think after some conversation, we brought it up to 15,000. And to my amazement, this got so much energy and interest at the schools that we ended up with 260,000 kids signing up the first year.
Hit me that again.
260,000.
260,000.
Right.
Wow.
Registered to do something that day in their school.
Fantastic.
Some of my staff went to one of the staff went to one of the sessions, and they were mummifying chickens, and I was trying to figure out, well, what was that about? So they were talking about the pyramids and, you know, King Tut and whatever. So they're showing how you can mummify something, and they're burying these chickens in the ground for a year, and then they're going to bring them out and see what happened. But all different kinds of creative projects. And this summer we're going to we're shooting for at least 120 rising high school seniors to be placed in technology jobs, with the idea that if they get an experience there, they'll go on to, you know, hopefully a two-year, four-year, or post-grad eventually in the STEM area. So that's kind of the tag ed role, to get kids excited about math, science, technology, and engineering, because there's not enough kids, particularly girls, but boys and girls, that want to go into these fields nowadays. But I don't think they understand. Michael Robertson says he goes into a classroom and he'll show them he'll say, how many want to go into technology? And he'll get two hands out of 30 that raise. And then he'll pull out his cell phone. He goes, how many would like to develop apps for this cell phone? He says, half the class raises their hand. So part of it is making them aware of what kind of great opportunities, whether it's animation or, you know, we're talking to some people about, I mentioned earlier, the automotive industry. Well, that's all technology now. You think somebody that's working on your car doesn't have to know a lot about technology. I mean, it's just going to be more and more. Your home is going to be your car. You can pretty much do anything from there. So on the other side of it, we're working on some legislation. We'd like to see this H-1B visa passed. This is where right now at the federal level, they're finally talking about how to keep more foreign students that have degrees, advanced degrees in STEM. Let's say they get an engineering degree, a doctoral degree, or master's degree in computer science or engineering from Georgia Tech. Well, Senator Isaacson says the first letter they get is, congratulations, you've got your degree. The second is, you have to go back home now. The Chinese love our policy. I was just talking to somebody this morning about
India
that.
Loves our policy.
Yeah, they'd love, you know, educate them here and bring them back there. It's, you know, it's crazy. So a number of us are working on that. We don't have as much influence at the federal level, but that's one thing that we're working on. We're also trying to get more funding for entrepreneurs, trying to build the ecosystem, working with the chambers to connect colleges with companies to talk about what areas they need, making sure the universities are moving fast enough with changing the curriculum to keep up with what the companies need. So there's a lot we're doing in that area. There's more that we can do. We want to develop a dashboard to show how we're doing in this area of improving the workforce. But we have a long way to go. The good news is I think that there are a lot of young, the chamber calls it young and the restless, but still a good destination for young people to come in, establish themselves, and find a job.
I think promoting guys like David Cummings is,
yeah.
The chamber's done a great job with making David the poster child of
yeah.
entrepreneurial young guys making it well. But back to what you said earlier, the female part of this, we need more really smart women and young girls to get involved. And I think that WIT is doing a good job
yes.
of that with Girls Get IT and
yeah.
some of their initiatives.
Yeah, Women in Technology is a great organization, Society of TAG, but also has some independence in terms of what they're striving to do, and it's a lot of it is helping women advance. Georgia actually is one of the states that's growing the fastest in terms of women selecting, even though we're way short, but women selecting careers, women entrepreneurs. There's a number of different groups in that. But, yeah, WIT does a nice job, Girls Get IT, and a number of other programs in that area.
It's important, and we're glad that TAG is addressing it. And with, as I told a CIO a couple of days ago, who had had a job open for a year that we were not working on, fortunately. But I basically said, you know, the only thing I can think of is you and your wife get busy, and in about 20 years you'll have a kid that can that can help you, because it's just it's a matter of logistics. There's just X number of people, and I think bringing more people in the community, but again, taking the folks, as you mentioned, the young folks in junior, middle school, and getting excited about building apps, and it's just it's critical for all of us in the state.
Well, keeping them in school, too, one of the things, and maybe if they're more interested in a particular area and could see for themselves a career or a path, there'd be some possibility. I just read a report that showed in Georgia, if you start in ninth grade, I don't know if you've seen this, Ricky, with 100 kids in ninth grade, when you graduate, there's 56 from high school, so you've already lost a bunch, and then some go to tech colleges, some go to 4-year schools, and at the end of the day, there's only 9 out of the 100 that have actually graduated from one of those institutions. So, around the country, we have a lot of work to do, and in Georgia, we have a lot of work to do. That's one of the big things our education system has to improve.
One of the things you mentioned earlier is the Technology Councils of North America. Go in a little more detail. Tell me a little bit what that's all about, and how TAG is unique and how we stack up against others across the country.
Yeah, so we're I've taken my turn being the president. We've just actually, I guess if there's a legacy in this under my tenure, is we're able to get another organization to help. It's called CompTIA, which you may have heard of out of Chicago, to help fund our first executive director. So it'll be better for the next guy coming in August to actually have a full-time staffer that's going to be driving this agenda. There's a number of organizations, maybe 10 around the country that in North America that are interested in promoting technology as an industry. But a lot of them have changed their model. So Techna is the boots-on-the-ground organization that has groups like TAG and the Utah Technology Council and Pittsburgh Technology Council and Northern Virginia and Waterloo, Canada, and Vancouver, Canada, and all over North America. Now there's one in Finland that's a member of ours. And the reason we come together about 3 times a year is because we want to share best practices. And we're talking now about diversification of revenue and H-1B visa and how to develop surveys that would actually be North American surveys that would have an impact. There's not really any organization that I know of that could do what we potentially could do. It's kind of like TAG back in 2004. We can talk about it now, but we're not doing it yet. But we did a survey last year, and we surveyed about 18,000 companies, and I think we had 1,400 responses, and it was just before the presidential election. So we got a lot of media information. It got picked up by it was just for the U.S., so it got picked up by national news. So this is a group comes together for best practices, but what I've tried to do is also have them think about how we can impact the industry through things that none of us can do on their own. So we're going out to Minnesota in late July, early August, and we're having a 3-day conference. I'll bring about 10 of my staff with me, and we'll have 200 staff from around North America there, and we'll be talking about issues of importance to us. So, it's a good group, TECNA, Technology Councils of North America, and it's been growing in terms of number of members. We just picked up a group out of Kentucky that just started. They're going after one in South Carolina that we just learned about. There's 2 in Tennessee. So it's we're different in a number of ways. One is we have we're the largest in the U.S., maybe the largest in North America, as measured by membership and measured by revenue. We also do some different things in terms of our C-level activities, our legislation. Some groups do that. There's a variety of different things we do, but each group's a bit unique. But it's good learning to see what everybody else is doing, and you always take some good ideas back and try to apply them locally.
Well, it sounds like on a national level, but even on a more on a state level, TAG is doing a lot of things that we didn't do in the early days. And I think it was because, and I can't remember if it was the American Council of, or was it American Engineering or Electrical?
Oh, IEEE is one.
Was it Bonnie Herron and Leland Strange and a lot of guys were involved in that. But
yeah.
it was a heavy Washington lobbying presence.
Yeah.
But nothing really happened much on the Georgia level. But you're involved in that, and you have been with the venture fund now, so Georgia's more aggressive in that area. And kind of talk about some of the state initiatives. Do we have a full-time lobbyist or a...
We do. We're one. That's another unique area. I don't know if anybody else in our Techna group has a full-time lobbyist. Some of them contract lobbyists, and there's some really strong groups that have I've learned a lot from in other parts of the country. But we do have a full-time guy, Richie Johnson. During the 40 days of legislation, he's down there pretty much every day. And we always have a platform. We talk to our members. If there's members listening in, they can contact us if they want to meet with us. We try to get with our premier members and see what their issues are. And typically they flow around areas that are important to us, important to the industry, so they align pretty nicely with the kinds of things that we want to do. This year we had two nice wins. One was the renewal of the Angel Tax Credit, which is great for entrepreneurs, and the other is Invest Georgia, which is a $100 million investment fund, which is the first time that's ever happened. And there was a group like Nora Mosley and Knox Massey and a number of people that were involved. But TAG behind the scenes played a nice role in that, and those are a couple things that we're proud of. We're always looking at things on the school side, like more digital content. People, buying textbooks. That's okay, but now we said, well, if there's money coming from the feds or the state, let's make sure there's no impediments to getting digital content. So we've helped with some of the laws with that. So typically we'll pick a few things to go after. And then no disrespect to our friends at the legislation, but I think they'd agree that there's always a couple crazy things they come up with, and then we have to play defense and make sure that they don't, unintended consequences change the world of Georgia by passing some law that's going to affect, the internet or affect, half of our companies that not really aware that something like this is going to happen. We're getting a little bit more involved at the federal level. I talked about the H-1B visa issue. We get calls from some of our companies, information security call us, one of our information security company, premier companies, called us the other day and said, the government really needs to clarify what they mean by this new, this sounds probably pretty familiar to anybody listening, but clarify this new rule that they put in. We don't understand what it is, and we don't think anybody else does, and it's going to hurt our business because we don't mind going after a new target, but tell us what the target is. So we'll get Richie and some of our team to at least have some conversations with the center and say, this is an issue we need you to know about. So it's unfortunate the way things are now is when you go down to D.C., there's a lot of wringing of hands and they can't do a lot. But we'll go down there in a fly-in every year and we'll try to make a difference. We brought about 15 CEOs with us this year and went and talked to our legislators for a couple days.
Well, that's all very, very powerful. We have just about exhausted our time, and I've got at least four or five things I wanted to personally ask you.
Okay.
So what I am going to ask you, if you would be kind enough to come back at some time in the next couple of two or three months when your schedule
sure.
permits, and because, again, I'd love to talk about some of the PR efforts you're doing.
Yeah.
What are some of the goals for what do we look like in 2014 and 15?
Yeah.
And there's just so many exciting things that you're involved in, and of course, in the next two or three months before you come back, a lot of new exciting things
Hope
will
so.
Happen.
I think so. Happy to do that.
Closing thoughts, something you want to leave with the audience. Certainly, once again, give them the TAG website and how to contact you, but any words of encouragement?
Well, technology, for those of you that are listening that aren't necessarily into the technology space, Richie's heard me say this before because he's driving it from a government standpoint, but We are not just about peaches, pecans, pine tree, poultry, and peanuts. Technology now represents about 17% of the GDP for the state, which is $113.1 billion. So we did this economic impact study last year, and we thought that information was really valuable to the legislators, but also to the community, to be proud of what the technology industry is doing for us here in Georgia. So I think the point I'd like to leave people with is, know that it's really, we have a great potential to grow Georgia's business, to knock that unemployment rate from 7.5 down to, you know, something even more aggressive. And as the state's investing and as people are investing, you know, look to technology in terms of what it can do. And you read about the carpet industry having struggles. Well, you can do a lot of transformation of that area into other type of advanced manufacturing, and there is some of that going on right now in some of those parts of the rural area. The other thing is, we're not just in Atlanta. We've opened up offices in Savannah. We have a chapter in Augusta, in Macon, which is called Middle Georgia, in Columbus, and next on deck is Athens. So, yeah, it's great. I feel fortunate to be in this industry in Georgia at this point in time and working with people like you, Ricky.
I don't know when could be a more exciting time to be doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago at the Digital Ball. We did a live remote broadcast, and as I talked to a number of CIOs, Kerry Wheeler from CBeyond,
right,
and Jay Farrett, American Cancer, and this, that, and the other. But every single person was optimistic, excited, not only about what they were doing at Digital Ball and the money they were raising for that great cause at TechBridge, but just in the overall mood of our economy and us as a state. So I think you've had a great deal to do with that.
Well,
I'm honored to be your friend and someone that gets to watch your magic on a regular basis.
And, well, thanks for being a part of all of it.
Well, I look forward to having you back. This is Ricky Steele. I've finished my coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday. Or you can listen to Tino starting probably tomorrow afternoon at 2 or 3 o'clock at any of the past shows by visiting Booth 61 with Ricky Steele on Business Radio X. I always close the shows trying to share a blessing for you, your family, and your business. This blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great week. I am Ricky Steele, and once again, thank you for visiting Booth 61.